Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
Call his wife and
hey, how are we doing at 4:04 on this Monday morning? How was your weekend? Yesterday I had a little barbecue in the backyard, both the dual birthday of my two sons. It was a nice day, trying to recover from the disaster that was Saturday night as the Rangers season is now over. The garden party ends without any flowers. There is no more garden. That's another. That's always a fun wake. I got a wake up call saying, "Oh yeah, my father just dropped off a whole bunch of horse crap. Can you go outside and shovel it into the garden?" Yeah, sure. Why not? Thanks. Oh yeah, a steaming pile of horse crap sitting outside. Make sure you know the fertilizer. Yeah, no, I'll go take care of it. That was fun off a Saturday night. Ah, that's what it felt like. As the New York Rangers, absolutely, I'm sorry, no show in this series. And yes, they were better in Game 6 in Florida than they were in Game 3 and 4. I don't care. The stars of this team are not good enough, didn't show up. The other team wanted it more. The Panthers get every free puck, every loose puck, every opportunity. And they were just the better team. And I'm tired of hearing that, quite honestly, because they shouldn't have been. They shouldn't have been. They didn't have to be. I understand the level of play. I understand they've been to the Stanley Cup Finals last year, and now it's back-to-back Stanley Cup Finals for them, and they're built in a certain way. I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of hearing excuses for Panarin because, oh, well, listen, they take his space away, and they take it right to him, and you know he didn't have an opportunity to play his game, and blah, 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 blah. Now it's enough. It's enough time to look at this group and say to yourself, a group we trust, a group that we believed in this year, a group that came from behind more than anybody else in the NHL and NHL history, a group that didn't lose a lot of games in a row and yet ended this season three consecutive losses to the Florida Panthers, a group that we were just waiting to figure it out and create some kind of offense. And when the power play went cold, they had nothing to provide. And now as you move forward with this team and you ultimately get into the how do they get better, how do they get past this point, it's tough for me to believe that this group can. Because this isn't just the slump. This isn't just this team walked in not playing its best or injured. They were healthy. They won the first seven games of this postseason. They beat a very good Carolina Hurricane team. And yet when it came down to it, the stars are incapable of taking on a team like the Florida Panthers. Incapable of taking on a team last year like the New Jersey Devils. Incapable of taking on a team like 2 years ago, the Tampa Bay Lightning. When it comes down to it, and the other team is a little bit more physical because you are a little bit more skilled, when it comes down to it, the skilled players you relied on all year long are not good enough to play the kind of hockey that gets you past the Florida Panthers. And it sucks to say that because that's what all the naysayers said the entire year. As the Rangers were building up the best record in hockey, as the Rangers were winning the President Trophy, as the Rangers were having Panarin score all these goals and having this monster year, and, you know, Igor was playing great, and the first 20 games of the year, they win like, you know, 17 of them or whatever it was. Great down the stretch, hold off Carolina, expected to do big things in the postseason. And as all the naysayers, all the detractors, everybody was saying, well, look at their numbers 5-on-5. And, hey, they're not tough enough. And, hey, I just don't believe in them. Hey, and come the postseason time, we're going to see what we've seen in previous years. And I said, no, not this team, not this year. They're different. And ultimately, I was wrong. We were wrong. They were right. They are the same. And they were unable to get anything going. And they could not create any kind of offense, any kind of scoring chances, anything. And Panarin is right now at the top of the list of guys I no longer can believe in or look at the same way. I was willing to give him a pass last year and the year before, but now this is too many times where he doesn't show up, and I'm tired of being told there's a style of play that limits what he can be. If that's the case, if they're incapable, we're going to find out now because Edmonton plays the same type of game, but they have better stars. And we're going to find out whether or not Florida plays this suffocating brand of hockey that skilled players just can't succeed in, or whether or not it's just the Ranger players who can't succeed in it, and whether or not it's just Panarin and Zibanejad who can't succeed in it. Because if you tell me there is a way to play Panarin so he is invisible in a series, well, the Rangers have a problem, don't they? Because I was under the assumption that I don't care what the sport is. When you're a great player, when you're a 120-point player, when you're someone who should have been and wasn't in the final three for the Hart Trophy, when you're someone who's on the best player on the best team in the NHL and someone they rely on to score goals and give them moments, when you can be phased out and eliminated as easily as Florida was able to phase out and eliminate Panarin, well, then he can't be the best player on your team if you want to win a Stanley Cup. He can't be the driving force. He can't be someone you rely on. Because now it's no longer just a fluke. It is a pattern. And it's not just, oh, he wasn't playing well, or he's hurt, or he's tired. It was, he was systematically taken out. That means they can't overcome. They're not capable. They were playing their best hockey. They won the first 7 games of this postseason. They were flying. And then they were completely brought to a dragging halt because their stars are incapable of overcoming this style of play that you will face in the postseason. It's happened too many times now. And I don't know how you get out, and I don't even think that's fair because he is a great regular season player. I don't know how you get out of his contract. I don't know how you move on from Zibanejad. There are some realities to the idea of you are stuck with these players. And, I mean, I hate to say stuck because I believed in them up until the other day. But now, how can you moving forward? How can you believe? How can you have faith in this group to get it done? If not this year, when? When? When you're maybe lucky enough to avoid someone who plays the style of hockey the Panthers play? The suffocating style of hockey the Panthers play? I can't just build the team the same and hope I don't face this style of hockey because they can't beat it. They can't play in it. It's now apparent. And if a team decides they're going to take Panarin out, it's way too easy for what a superstar of the game should be able to do. And the Rangers have to look at how they built this team. And Chris Drury, who's been quick to make changes, recognized they needed a different coach, made a quick change. They realized they need toughness a few years ago after the whole Washington fiasco, went out and got tougher and changed things. He sees and he reacts. Well, did he see what we saw? Did he see the core of this team and the stars of this team not being good enough to succeed? Or did he see something different? Because if he saw what we saw, something's got to give. And it's a failure of a season, and there's no other way to put it. Maybe in a week we'll feel different. We'll look back and go, hey, you know, they won a lot of games. They played really great. Some come from behind victories. The President's Trophy. Ultimately, there was only one way to be successful this year for the New York Rangers, and they didn't get close. 888-808-1019. And then we get to the baseball as well this morning. We'll take your baseball calls as the Mets, in my opinion, are done. I told you how important I felt about this 10-game homestand. I told you how they absolutely desperately playing their worst ball heading in could at the very least could not fall further behind. They entered 7 games under 500. They had to figure out a way to leave this 10-game homestand no worse. You can't knock off 10 home games in this season, your longest homestand of the year, and end up worse. And they win three of the seven games. They get embarrassed. The whole Jorge Lopez fiasco. They're down in the bullpen. The offense completely stinks. They lose two out of three to San Francisco. They get absolutely dominated and swept by the Dodgers. And then for me, the final ending of this whole thing is the way they react and respond off the meeting. Right? They have that meeting after the last Dodger game, after Lopez's outburst and throwing the glove and not, you know, caring that the manager was pissed or whatever the case may be. They decide to make a point and DFA him. They have the team meeting. Lindor calls the meeting. Lindor comes out that night on Thursday night, goes 4-for-4. They win that game against the Diamondbacks. They take the first two on Friday night against the Diamondbacks. And then Saturday, with momentum in that series, hopefully being able to point to that meeting and point to that low point as where they decided to put their foot in the ground and move forward. They have Darryl's retirement. He gives you the speech. He talks about how he should have never left. It's a beautiful, gorgeous day. They have all this momentum, and then they get their ass kicked. They get their ass kicked. Other than a ninth inning meaningless rally, they get blown out, and then they follow it up on Sunday, take an early lead, do nothing else offensively, and find a way to blow it in the ninth with the likes of with Diekman closing the game because the bullpen's completely in disarray. The manager, you know, didn't want to stick with some guys a little bit longer to get to, you know, Ottavino or you know, Reed Garrett in the ninth instead of Diekman. He gives up the 2-run home run, and that moment in time where they were able to hopefully like talk about that meeting and get off the deck and play their best baseball and start to change this immediately goes right back down the tubes, and they lose two games in completely different fashion. They get blown out, and then they rally back, score some runs, have a lead in this game off another, you know, below average performance from Quintana, who is supposed to be a much more reliable source than he's been. He only goes four innings. He gives up the two home runs early. And then ultimately they come back, but they blow it in the ninth. And they blow games. They get blown out in games. They're terrible defensively. They're terrible offensively. The bullpen's in shambles. I mean, this was a very important stretch for them. And their May has been atrocious. And their June, unfortunately, doesn't look like it's getting any better. And all we'll talk about now is who they trade, how they trade, how quickly they trade, and you know everyone's going. Everyone's going because that's what this GM wants. And right now, there's no reason to say he should do anything else but get rid of everybody. Can't go into a 10-game homestand, 7-under-500, and leave it 11-under-500. Can't do it, not if you want to have a season. And they have the third-worst record in the National League. Only the Marlins and Rockies are worse. And then you get to the best team in baseball, the New York Yankees. As Juan Soto and Aaron Judge are an absolute force, they're the two best hitters in baseball right now. They're the only two hitters in Major League Baseball that have an OPS over one. And the main difference of this team, we can get into Juan Soto, and I have 5 hours tomorrow, and we're going to get into Judge, we'll get into Soto, but the main difference I want to talk about with this team is the sense of urgency. And I know I've talked about it a lot, but this is a game in previous years with the New York Yankees. They already secured a winning road trip, and they had already secured a series victory against the Giants. And this was the end of a long road trip, a day off tomorrow, flying back home. And in previous years with the New York Yankees, Judge would have got the day off to have the double day. They would have put out a lineup that many Yankee fans would have called the punt lineup. That had become a very popular phrase with the New York Yankee fan. And instead, they are out to win every single game. Judge is in there. Stanton's in there. Soto's in there. Volpe's in there. They play every day. And the level of compete and the level of urgency and the level of every game matters. You see them on the bench when Soto hits the home run. Obviously, everybody's celebrating. They are out to win every single game. They are out to take your throat every game. And right now, this lineup's as good as any. The bullpen's terrific. And the starting rotation, forget about it. Even, you know, Saturday, Petit comes in because you got Clark Schmidt injured, and he gives you pretty much a Clark Schmidt performance. They have done everything right. This team is deep, and they have the two best hitters in the world. They have the best lineup in baseball, and they're getting they have the best rotation in baseball, should I say, and they're getting Cole back, who starts a rehab assignment on Tuesday. Everything is great in Yankee land. Can't make it up. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. John in Maspeth. What's up, John?
Hey, C-Mac, how's it going? You know, everything is great in Yankee land. Hopefully it gets better. As you know, the Yankees have a big decision to make on Tuesday on Jason Dominguez and whether or not to bring him up or to keep him down. And I was asking, you know, what do you think you think that the Yankees should do? I feel they should bring him up, and I'm not sure what you feel.
It's an interesting point. I probably wouldn't bring him up right now. I'd probably let him stay in AAA for a little bit. He's having a great rehab assignment, and he's a great player. But right now, Verdugo's too important to this team, and Stanton's still swinging the bat well. He hits a home run on Saturday. He still has his ugly swings you can point to, and bad at-bats. He'll always have that, even when he's going well. But I just don't see benching him. And like I said, they play their best lineup every night. I mean, every night. We get on Grisham because he sucks. Grisham plays once every 3 weeks. The guy never plays. I don't know how you expect a role player or a bench player, and I'm surprised the Yankees are doing this because they typically want to like get everybody involved so that they know they can go to these guys. Jones never plays. Grisham never plays. I mean, how do you expect them to be good? So they're playing their starting lineup every night. Are you telling me they're going to bring Dominguez here and just bench Stanton and just not play him? Or keep Dominguez on the bench and not play him? Or bring Dominguez here and suddenly change, you know, playing every day? I don't want Dominguez up here not playing every day. And right now, they're just, until Stanton gets injured, which, knock on wood, doesn't happen, but let's be honest, we all expect it at some point. I know he's made it through May, and it's into June, and we've kind of forgotten about it, but the fact of the matter is, the guy has hardly ever, and especially in a Yankee uniform, made it through a season without some sort of injury. So until that happens, I mean, Verdugo's too important to this team. Moving him to cleanup changed the entire lineup. And as great and as much as we all like Dominguez, I just don't find a role for him on an everyday basis right now with the team playing as good as, you know, as great as it's been. I don't see the way that they make it work with him unless just making him a bench piece and rotating everybody and really having a legit rotation where you give Verdugo a day off, you give, you know, Stanton a day off, give Judge a day at DH and give Stanton 2 days off. Soto plays every day. I just don't see it. Not with the way they're playing. Danny and Belrose, what's up, Danny? How are we doing?
Pretty good. Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy? What's going on?
Pretty good. So I was looking at trade rumors for the Yankees. I don't know if you saw Mason Miller, the bullpen hurler. His numbers are looking pretty good. He's got around like a 208 ERA.
He's been great. I mean. You guys are funny. we're looking to trade for a closer at the deadline to bolster this team. I get it. Every team in baseball is going to want him. We haven't established who the sellers and the buyers are. The Yankees have prospects, but at the same time, their bullpen has been so good. I know you want to trade for a closer and solidify it even better and go and chase a championship. I'm not opposed to it. But you're going to take Clay Holmes out of the closer role? I don't know if you could do that to him. Now you could bring him in here and put him in the eighth inning. But again, right now, you would have to tell me, right? Depending on what teams are looking for relievers, I'm going to be hard pressed to tell you that the Yankees are going to need a reliever more than anybody else. And who are you going to be willing to trade for? I mean, he's a young, controllable pitcher, so I think they would probably be willing to give up a lot. But You're going to have to if you want to trade with Oakland for a player like that. But, I mean, right now, the last thing on my mind is who they're going to trade at the deadline. Just right now, we got to let the season play out a little bit. But, I mean, we could have that conversation about what they'll need. You could argue a corner infielder would be something I'd look for, especially if Rizzo's is going to continue to struggle here offensively and defensively. I would love to upgrade first base. You could upgrade third base and move LeMahieu over to first if you're so inclined. So maybe a corner infielder, maybe a reliever. I don't think the starting rotation needs it because I do think they have depth inside the organization. And I don't know if they want to, with the track record of trading for starting pitching at the deadline, has it been great? And as long as they're healthy as of right now, without losing another pitcher besides Clark Schmidt, I think the rotation's probably good enough where I wouldn't adjust it. But I mean, it's a little premature. We don't even know what's going to be available. Yes, it sounds like he might be on the trade market and he's going to get a ton of value. But right now, the Yankees, it's going to be hard-pressed to convince the Yankees they need to sell pieces for a reliever when they're playing the way they're playing. When they're doing what they're doing. And they got guys coming back. Efros is probably going to come back. Trevino might come back. They're adding guys to the bullpen. Plus, let's be honest, we don't know if Luis Gil's going to be added to the bullpen. We don't know other arms from inside the organization. Like right now, I pretty much trust what's going on with the team. Everybody they bring up, like they don't sign these starting pitchers and they're like, oh, the pitching depth. Oh, Luis Gil's going to be an ace. Oh, Clark Schmidt goes down. I don't know. Well, like, I mean, people talk pretty good about Petit. He came up, pitched well. They have Will Warren. They have like they've traded away all this pitching depth and still have this excellent rotation with depth and right now the arms coming out of the bullpen. You know, Marinaccio hasn't even been with the team. He's killing it in AAA. He's having a great season. He might come up to help to the bullpen. Like, I think knowing the Yankees, if they feel it's the absolute need to win a World Series, they'd be willing to do it. But otherwise, I think they feel like they have options and don't want to trade away, you know, prospects. But, I mean, this reliever is young and talented. Who knows? Everyone's going to want.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
World Series over! Yankees win!
This happened. You talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:30. McBonnell here with you on The Fan on this Monday morning. After a beautiful weekend, every day was very, very nice. Saturday, obviously, as you know, I'm with the kids all day long, Little League. And the worst is when I got two sons. And the worst is when the Little League games are just all over the place. So I had T-ball with the little guy at 11 and then baseball with the older guy at 5:30. Like, I mean, can you take up my whole day? Like, it was just, there's nothing worse than that. It's like, just put them together. Why can't you just focus on what I need? Why are we doing this random stuff? Call me, ask me what's best for me. As opposed to just randomly and playing, you know, at the opposite ends of the day. And then, so yesterday is we had their birthday. We had family over. And you want to feel disappointment? I was disappointed in the Rangers, too. But every once in a while, your kids will disappoint you. I love them. And just reaction, because you have in your mind when you buy them things, right? You learn this. And as a kid, I remember once my mother, like, hyped up a present. I forget how old I was. I was older, like, because I wasn't a kid. But she hyped up this present. She told me she thought I was going to love it, blah, blah, blah. And it ended up being, like, a juicer. I was like, Mom, why the hell would you? You got me all pumped up about a juicer? Like, no. Okay, cool. I like, you know, I guess we can make some juice. But, like, no. I'm not that excited about the juicer. I thought I was going to get some awesome. Oh, but okay. So I've been hyping it up, trying to, you know, bribe them into being good. Guys, I have a big present coming on Sunday for the both of you. If you do you want to have it or not? Do you want it or not? Because if you're going to continue to act like this, I don't know if I can give it to you. So big present. They're all hyped about it. I got them a basketball hoop. They've been begging for a basketball hoop. We have like a crappy one from, you know, it was still here when we bought the house. It's a complete mess. It's rusted. I can't even adjust it. There's like trees growing over it. It's in a terrible spot. So I got to take that down, but I was going to buy a new basketball hoop. So the basketball hoop didn't arrive until Saturday. I didn't have time to put it together, so I got it in the box. We wrapped it. So I'm telling them, big present coming, big present coming. Great. Cake, everything. Let's wheel out the big present. Get the big present, the box. They open it up. Oh, my God, a basketball hoop. Yay, yay. They seem happy about it. They're real into it. A basketball hoop. Well, thank God we needed it. Oh, thank you, Daddy, blah, blah. 2 seconds after they praised me for about, you know, a half a minute, my little guy Andrew looks up to me. He goes, okay, where's the big present? I'm like, where's the big present? This is it. The basketball hoop's the big present. And he kind of just goes, oh, okay, and puts his head down. I'm like, are you serious? Are you serious right now? The basketball, oh, yeah, great. Where's the big present? Where's the big present? Basketball hoop wasn't good enough. In my mind, I had it going as a bigger deal than 30 seconds of, oh, that's cool. And then where's the big present you told me about all week? I thought that was it. Steve in Illinois. What's up, Steve? You're on the Fan.
Hi, Chris. Steve in Illinois saying that this might be the best Yankee team I've ever seen. And I've been going back to 64.
Wow. Yeah, well, since 64. I would tell you it's the best Yankee team since 2009, that's for sure, without question.
Has potential, but there's a note of caution. My wife and I are jinxes. We went to the West Coast, saw two games, both the losses.
You're kidding.
So they go 7-2, we're 0-2. We've seen them lose in Cleveland, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, and Chicago.
All this season?
You're the king. Yeah, no, last year.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know if that even made sense. Last year, too? You have not
seen. You're the king. We need the king to give us absolution because you've got to break the jinx.
Yeah.
We've got a game in Chicago on September 7th, and I'm afraid they're going to lose again. Please help us.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell. I don't know why I even called you, Jinx. Get off the phone. Don't put that stuff out there. That is funny to go on the West Coast and you catch two losses on a winning road trip like that. Listen, but to your initial point with the Jinx stuff, I don't know. I want to see the Jinx season 2. I haven't got around to watch it yet. But as far as the best team, there's no doubt. This is the most complete team. I know the record of 22 at this point was even better, amazingly enough. They didn't lose their 19th game until like June 24th or something. It was the start of 2 years ago was just crazy. This team is so much better. And let's even go further. I mean, this is a conversation I'm going to have with you a little bit more tomorrow. But Judge and Soto together are the best combo Yankees, I mean, since Mantle and Maris. That's how dynamic. I mean, it's A-Rod and Teixeira, A-Rod and Jeter. Obviously, the 90 teams, the dynasties were without the level of superstardom that these two players are, let's be honest. And quite honestly, I saw MLB Network put it out, and I quote tweeted it, and we'll get to it tomorrow a little bit more, but we can take your phone calls on and now at 888-808-1019. Judge is the best New York Yankee since Mickey Mantle. He just is. I mean, what he's doing right now and the level of play we've seen from him over the last 3 years, he's not the greatest Yankee because he has no championships, and that's what Yankee's about. So if you're just going to say the greatest Yankee, I mean, Mariano Rivera's obviously right there. Derek Jeter is right there, you know, as far as Yankee. But as far as the most talented player to wear the uniform, there is no doubt he's the most talented player to wear the uniform since Mickey Mantle. He is, watching him play right now, and think of the idea, he's been the best hitter in baseball for 3 years. What he's doing in May right now is outrageous. So what he did in May and what he's doing in June here, like, he is the best hitter in all of baseball. He's been so for 3 years, and he is a dominant force. And I understand Alex Rodriguez and whoever else you want to bring me, this guy's going to hit 50, 60 home runs if healthy. I mean, he's doing it right now in an era where not many people do it. It's as hard to hit right now as ever. It's as hard to hit as ever. Batting averages are down. Everything is down. Pitchers are throwing harder than ever. There's more specialized pitching. You never see the same pitcher, you know, more than twice in a game. You got guys designed just to come in and throw you breaking balls as a right-handed hitter and a left-handed hitter, vice versa, whatever. Him and Soto have to deal with these specialized pitchers. It is as difficult to hit right now as it ever has been. I mean, Aaron Judge is, and it sucks to me too, that we can't appreciate it. Like, because I'll put out this, like I put out the tweet about him being the best player since Mantle. And disagreement's fine. I'm open to, it's a debate. But when we constantly throw out like the playoff performance stuff, it makes me really think about what we're willing and how we've changed. And how the days of just enjoying the greatness of a player is no longer feasible. He has to be great at all times. He has to win the championship. We know, like, the days of Ted Williams, where he never won it, like, is I guess Dustin Pedroia is a better Red Sox than Ted Williams because he won championships and he came through in the clutch. Ted Williams had one World Series and he wasn't very good. Like, we no longer, like, I put out Judge is the best. Huh. Have you seen him in the postseason? No, he hasn't been as good in the postseason. It's definitely a thing. And he'll never be the greatest Yankee, and he'll never be beloved like Jeter is, like some of these other players are, without the championships, preferably multiple championships. I get that. But at the same time, like, can we appreciate what we're watching? Because what we're watching is baseball played at the highest level we've seen in forever. And the two of these guys back to back, I mean, you are talking about 60 years. You have to go back to Maris and Mantle for a brief time. You have to go back to Ruth and Gehrig. I mean, this is what we're watching right now with the New York Yankees. We could talk about, you know, how they could need this and need that, or what this team is. But ultimately, when we watch this team, we are seeing two of the greatest players of their generation, and particularly Judge. For me, Judge is the best player in all of baseball. And to watch these two guys back to back, it hasn't been like this in a long time. I don't care about Mattingly, Winfield. I don't care about, you know, not that I don't care. I don't agree, like Thurman and Reggie Jackson, A-Rod and whomever, Jeter and whomever, Bernie and O'Neill. We have never seen a middle of the lineup be this devastatingly good and hard to pitch to in 60 years. So when you talk about whether this team is going to fade out like all the other teams, maybe you're right. Maybe they will. And Judge is going to have to hit in the postseason to ultimately, especially for a Yankee organization, when he's compared to you know, Jeter, who won 5 championships, he's going to have to win some World Series or he'll never be looked as far as Yankee fans in the same light. But that doesn't change the fact what we're watching is the greatest display of baseball we've seen in certainly my lifetime. There is not another player who's worn the Yankee uniform who is better since Mickey Mantle. It's accurate. It's probably a clickbait type thing, but it is without question the truth. That's how good he is. That's what we're watching. And we can talk about his playoffs, and it's important, but in today's day and age where all we talk about is the playoffs and we have the extra wild card team and everything's about George and how much money they spend and they got to win the World Series. They haven't won since 2009. Let's just take a second and appreciate the fact that we are watching. I mean, this guy is the best. He has the best numbers in baseball. He was bad in April. I mean, you can't throw him a strike right now. He is Barry Bonds. That's the level of what we're watching. And the two of them in the middle of this lineup? I mean, it's devastating. And that's why, when you look at it, and you compare them to other teams that have been successful, because let's be honest, they have been. In 2018, they won 100 games. 2019, they won 100-plus games. 2022, they won 99 games. They have had good teams. They have been a successful franchise, even during this drought of World Series championships since 2009. They've had very good teams. This feels completely different with the two of them in the middle of the lineup, a rotation that's the best in baseball waiting on the best pitcher in baseball to return. A legitimate left fielder in Verdugo who's been every bit as good as you could have possibly hoped for. I mean, the Yankees, even in those years I just talked about, had Hicks in the outfield, had Gallo in the outfield, had, infielders, IKF in the outfield. They have a guy who literally, I believe he leads the American League in runs saved at the position in left field. Him moving to cleanup dramatically changed the entire team. It lengthens the lineup. You've got DJ LeMahieu just coming back. And you've got the two best hitters in baseball back-to-back, 2 and 3. And it's a situation that teams can't navigate. And they're lefty-righty. You're going to have to face one or the other, even in late-inning situations. One of them is most likely going to have to face a right-hander or a left-hander to Judge and Soto. I mean, they're just, right now, this team who's gone through everybody, and I don't want to hear about can't hit good pitching because that's all they've done here. Webb is a pretty good pitcher, is he not? The guy gives up 0.5 home runs per start, and Judge hits him 430 feet. You got a lefty closer who throws 102 miles an hour. And no lead is safe against them. And you can't score runs off them. Right now, the Yankees are the best team in baseball. They have a devastating lineup. And we get the pleasure of watching two of the great players of their generation every single game. And in my mind, Aaron Judge, the best player the franchise has seen since the 1960s. It's a pretty good time. It's not bad. Maybe you can call up and apologize to Brian Cashman. Just do it for me once.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
All right, 4:15. McMahon will be with you on the fan for a few minutes. We'll take it to the warm-up show.
At 5 o'clock, the Stanley Cup Finals are set. Edmonton Panthers will start Saturday. We got a long way to go for both of them. No NBA Finals, no NHL Finals for a while. But the Panthers open up as the favorite. Let me see the series on to make sure. That's just the game. But they are the favorite, and their tough defense and the way they played. Although I don't know, McDavid looks like he's going to be tough to stop. I mean, let's see if they could take away his space. Like Panarin, and see if they could shut down the Edmonton Oilers, who took care of business and took care of the Stars in six. And that'll be Saturday night, and we'll see. Unfortunately, it's not the Rangers. Oh, so frustrated by that. The Garden Party had such promise. We were having such fun. And to not get either of these teams, at least to the finals, and this Ranger team has no excuses. I don't want to hear it. I've heard too much already from fans and the excuse making. And I'm sorry, I can't look back at the season. I can't. I can't look back at the season and be positive about it. I can't look back and say, hey, you know, they won the President's Trophy, most points. They had a great, you know, they won the first seven playoff games, tough series. You know, the Panthers are just tough. This team was too good to fade like this. Too good to fade, man. To lose three straight games like this, to not be able to generate any kind of offense, to be outplayed the entire series, even the two games they won, you could argue they were outplayed. Certainly game three. And while, yes, this was the best game they played in Florida, and it wasn't just an absolute, you know, domination, they were right in it, they still can't create any scoring. And their top players were just invisible in this series. And I don't know how you move forward with the same group with the same level of confidence. Because it's not just them not playing well for a stretch. It's not like they headed into this not playing well. They won seven straight playoff games and had a Herculean, Messian effort from Kreider in game six to take care of Carolina on the road. They were heading in with momentum and playing good hockey. And they were completely shut down, and Panarin's completely invisible. And unless Kreider is standing in front of the net or scoring shorthanded goals, he doesn't do anything for you. He's a great penalty kill, and he's good on the power play. But other than that, he doesn't help you. He doesn't make, like, that line. Yeah, they were constantly looking for the other piece to it, but what does Kreider do 5-on-5? What does Kreider bring? Let's be honest. I know he had the great moment, and we'll love him forever, and his number's going to be hanging up in the rafters as the all-time playoff leader. But he's got to be better, too. Everyone's got to be better. The Stars on this team need to be better. And I'm tired of hearing, well, that's the way Florida plays. Well, let's see what happens in the Stanley Cup Finals. But if you want to be a star in this league, you got to figure out a way to overcome it. You can't just tell me, oh, well, he was shut down because that's how they play. Failure of a year from the New York Rangers as we get ready for the Edmonton Oilers. I'm sure everyone's really excited about it. I'm sure ESPN and ABC are thrilled at Edmonton, Florida. I'm sure the numbers are going to be through the roof. First time a Canadian team has a chance to win the Stanley Cup in a long time. Very exciting. We get two anthems. It's going to be great. Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Hey, C-Mac, how are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, that's very disappointing. Look, I'm not professed to be a hockey expert. I do love it. I watch it at the end of the year. What bothered me, it kept saying, well, you know, it's all special teams, power play, you know, and obviously goaltending.
Yep.
You know what, C-Mac, 95% of the game is 5-on-5.
That is true.
So you just can't depend on errors. It's almost like, well, if you make an error, we get a man on second, we're going to score.
Right.
You've got to be able to come up and have breakaways and put pressure on them. And, you know, 21 minutes, 24 minutes without a shot on goal. I know Panarin's got the reputation about some other players that just never come up big
in the playoffs.
Right.
And this, I'm sorry, if you want to be a team that can win the Stanley Cup, if you want to be the team that won the President's Trophy, if you want to be one of the better teams in hockey, you can't go through a six-game series and never find a way to create offense. I mean, they never found a way to create offense, never.
Absolutely. And, you know, your team, the Yankees, look,
yes.
I'm a big San Francisco Giant fan. I got my ass kicked, no doubt.
Yep.
You know, we had three good pitchers there. DeVal was one of the top pitchers in the National League as a reliever. And that was so quick, the way they just...
Yep.
Look, they're on a tremendous roll. Judge, to me, face of baseball right now, you know. And he's another guy, and I'm not going to... I hate to say that, you know. Oh, well, he's got to win in the playoffs. Look. And he does. He obviously, if you get to the playoffs, you want to see him get to that next level.
Yeah.
But having Soto, and I mentioned it to you in the beginning, when Verdugo is another big, he's a little arrogant. I love the guy.
Yeah.
So the team, Volpe coming on, obviously the pitching, the frontline pitching's been great. Yeah. You get Cole back. No, they're as much as, and my mom's 98, big Yankee fan. She's thrilled. I told her I'm not talking to her for a couple of weeks.
God bless her. Right.
But you know what? They deserve it. They're playing really well. And, C-Mac, that's the next joy for the next 5 months, you know?
Yeah, that's all we have left. And let's be honest, we like to talk about, we're always talking about the next team that's going to win a championship, the team that can break our curse here and win one, you know, bring the city back a championship. The Yankees clearly are the best option of it now, as both the Knicks and Rangers have been eliminated. The Mets are, you know, kaputs. And the Yankees are a force to be reckoned with. Now, you said they deserve it. I don't know what they deserve. They haven't done anything just yet. But, I mean, right now, you're right. Volpe at the top, he's gotten hot. It's changed things. Verdugo, but then obviously it's the two in the middle. I mean, those two guys right now. And to me, it's still Judge. I don't want to take away from Soto. I love Soto. I don't want to have the conversation about where he'll sign next year. Again, I love Soto. He's been great. I hope he's here forever. Let me just put it that way. And he's been a real difference in the team. But he's been killing it all year. The Yankees didn't get hot until Judge got hot. Judge is still the captain. Judge is the driving force. And Judge is the game-changing player. They both are. But Judge is really just... he's the thing that makes it work. I know Soto's brought a different dynamic, a mentality, which I think is helping, no doubt, about fighting every pitch. Every at-bat's a war. He does it with much more dramatic. Like, I think Judge feels that same way. Judge doesn't wear it the way Soto wears it. It is obvious that he's battling up there, and he wants every pitch, and he's fighting, and he's clawing, and he even laid down a bunt. Like, he'll do anything. And he wants to, you know, compete. He'll trash talk. He'll look the pitcher. He'll stare the pitcher down. He'll shake his head at the pitcher on balls. Like, he's just, it's fun to watch him. It's a soap opera every single at bat. It's tremendous. But this team didn't really take off until Judge became Judge, because he is the driving force of the team. There's no doubt about it. He's unstoppable. He's unstoppable. And he's on pace for 57 home runs. He barely hit any in April. It's incredible the tear he's on, but it's everything, the entire team there, and again, the mentality is completely different. Boone's been asked this a lot by the Talking Yank guys who talk to him every week, and he denies it. There's no denying it. They yesterday was a game this Yankee team takes off. It's been this way for years, and I'll admit I'm someone who defended it, or at least didn't make it seem like it was that big a deal. They would have, I don't want to call it punt lineups, but they had already won the series. They had already had a winning road trip. They had a day off today and flying home. That was a day to get Judge a double off day. That was a day to get Rizzo a double off day. Like, they give those guys off. Not this year. This year, they're out to, they win the first two, they want the third one. They win the first three, they want the fourth one. They're 6-2 on a road trip, they want to go 7-2 on a road trip. And you can feel it, and they did it. Even in the ninth inning, could have been a game, hey, not our day. We still had a great road trip. Instead, Trevino beating out a ground ball double play, setting up the inning. That's this Yankee team. And that's it for me, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow at midnight for a five-hour midnight ride. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Fleek's on the other side. The warm-up show is next. Everybody, enjoy your Monday. Unfortunately, the garden party is over, and now we focus on baseball, or at least the Yankees. See you guys later. Sports Radio 101.9 FM.